Welcome back to TechNet Radio. Happy Halloween, ghouls and goblins, and welcome to the Microsoft House of Horrors. In today's episode, Blaine Barton welcomes fellow senior IT pro evangelists Matt Hester and Chris Henley as they discuss the top 10 scariest things an IT pro can do in Windows Server 2008 R2. Blaine, the mic is yours.
Welcome to IT Time. I'm your host, Blaine Barton, Senior IT Pro Evangelist with Microsoft.
Get out of the way there, son. Welcome to IT Time. I'm your host, Blaine Barton, and I got with me a couple of mates with me and Matt Hester. How you doing, Matt Hester?
I am doing all right. I am off my feet. I am dressed up as a golfer because I can't continually play golf because I have 20 stitches, two screws, and a pin in my left foot right now.
Oh, Matt, mate, that hurts. That hurts thinking about it. And also, another senior IT pro evangelist, we have Chris Henley. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing well, Blaine. Good to see ya.
Welcome, guys, to the show, this happy Halloween edition.
I feel like I'm the only normal one on this call. This is just not good. When I'm the voice of reason on a radio show, this is not good. Not good.
Well, let's talk about the top 10 really scary things to avoid with Windows Server 2008 R2.
I think the top one of the top, and we'll put this at number 10 or whatever number we're going to count, is I think people just don't know what they don't know. R2 really changed the landscape from server management, from server abilities to really work with things. I think if you don't understand what the recycle bin is, if you don't understand what the advantages of PowerShell are, I mean, you're missing out. I mean, we did the top 10 things of what you need to know how to do. If you don't know what the top 10 advantages R2 brings to your data center, that would be one of the top scary things I would want to avoid with R2, is learn about the new OS. And, you know, we just so happen to have a book between Chris and I that would help you learn those things you don't know.
Tell us a little about your book.
Chris, go ahead. Chris, tell them about our book.
I couldn't agree more with Matt. You know, from a perspective of network control, administration, if you don't know what you're doing, you become your biggest enemy. You start to, you know, you kind of just run business as usual, which seems fine to you, but, you know, that there's a lot to running a Windows Server network and doing it really well. And whether you read our book, whether you go out and pick up some extra reading material that's out there in the marketplace, do something so that you know exactly what it is that you're expecting and what is expected out of running a quality network.
That's a good one. So we stopped with number 10. You don't know what you don't know. And number 9, Chris.
Well, I don't know about you, but in my world, everybody uses one of these. And in my case, of course, it's the Windows phone. You'll notice mine is running Mango, of course. That device needs to connect to your network. And if it's a Windows phone, awesome. The control capabilities are built in. It's pretty easy to manage and maintain. If your user's using iPads or iPods or Android devices or other, you have to do something to control them. And you can't just simply take the Galactic Empire approach. If you just say no, you're losing out on some business productivity that you really want to have. So learn how to control those remote devices.
Very good. Number 8, Matt.
Number 8, don't let Blaine Barton into your data center. Oh, I'm sorry. What's that? Don't let Blaine Barton into your data center. Number 10 things.
All right, I'll pull the wires out, eh?
So Chris and I, in our chapter, put a thing about PowerShell. Top 10 scary things. First off, learn PowerShell, right? That's a don't know you don't know. That's number 10. But number 8 is learn how to use the what if switch or the confirm switch, what are known as risk mitigation switches, with your PowerShell commands. Oftentimes I hear from my consultant friends that they're on site over a weekend because somebody used a wildcard character, I know, let's say like the asterisk, which means everything, and formatted 400 production servers C drive over the weekend. So the top 10 scary things to avoid the fantastic wildcards unless you know exactly what they're going to do. So with PowerShell, it's what if and confirm are going to be really some things that you want to learn how to use to help avoid. PowerShell is a great tool. If it's used properly, it can really help save you time and money. But if you use it improperly, it'll do exactly what you tell it, and it might do it too well for your liking for your infrastructure.
Good point. Number 7, Chris.
You can't exercise too much control and expect your users to continue operation.
Now, is that something like, you know, if you close your grip, if you close your grip too tight, you know, they'll just slip through your fingers kind of stuff, and then your users revolt against the IT world? Is that what that is?
That's exactly what that is. Policy is the coolest thing since sliced bread. But again, if you implement too much, if you provide too much control, you end up with a whole bunch of help desk calls and a ton of administrative work in order to enforce your policies, instead of something that complements and controls your network and still allows your users to do what they want.
Very good. Number 6, Matt.
I think number 6, working with R2, there you have to break it into two things. I think one thing to avoid is trying to have a mixed domain environment. If you still have legacy 2003 servers around and you have R2 in the mix somewhere, get those domain controllers up to R2 so you can take advantage of some of the wonderful new things, like I mentioned, Recycle Bin in R2, and get your fours in a native mode. You want to avoid running mixed mode. It's great for compatibility. It's great for the time, but it's one thing you want to do. Also, if you can get all of your other servers up to running R2, then we can start talking about this wonderful little thing called the private cloud. More importantly, we can talk about the physical deployment of System Center products, because I don't care how good you are with your servers and your environment. If your infrastructure is not up to date, if your core infrastructure is not up to date, you're really not going to be able to take advantage of a lot of the tools we have, from automation to rapid deployment to elasticity that a private cloud might offer you. Whether you go cloud or not internally is irrelevant, but if you're not in R2, you're really missing out on a lot of things that you can do. So definitely you want to avoid kind of that mixed environment to really work with different areas that we have. And don't let Blaine in your data center.
Oh, not sure that. About the first part, but definitely R2. Chris, number
don't
5.
Miss virtualization. I go to network after network after network. I got a bunch of IT guys out there who love what they built in the past because it worked for them in the past, and they are foregoing tremendous opportunities in the world of virtualization because they either don't know it, don't understand it, or are stuck in their old way. Don't miss the benefits of virtualization. Matt just said, hey, whether you choose to keep your current infrastructure or whether you move towards the cloud, if you can't take that step to the virtualized environment, and Hyper-V is a great way to make that step happen, if you can't make that step, going in and doing that private cloud, hybrid cloud, public cloud stuff, it's not going to happen. So you can't miss virtualization. Hyper-V is the coolest product on the planet, for crying out loud. Do it!
You're talking about the best planet. How about number 4, Matt?
I think with R2, look at, and one of the things you want to avoid is picking the wrong version of Windows Server. We offer 3 SKUs that could fit in your data center depending on your size: standard, enterprise, and data center. And if you're going in that virtualization path, like Chris just mentioned, you're probably thinking big iron, think data center. And the main reason why I would do this, and this is why you want to avoid maybe choosing enterprise or standard, if you have data center in the mix, you can have an unlimited number of virtual copies of Windows Server R2. The licenses are already bought. When you bought data center, they're already there. Now, with enterprise, you get 4, and I believe with standard, you get 2 of that OS. So you have some licensing to avoid, but if you're looking at highly virtualized environments and highly leveraging it, data center is one of the best things, and some of the enterprise licensing that goes with data center, especially around the ECI, can really help look at that. So I would avoid having those conversations around your users around, hey, look, how many virtual servers are we going to need? You might be able to save some costs just by going to data center and going with a big server.
Chris, number 3.
Number 3. The people in your network are everything, man. And when I say everything, the people who are running your help desk and the people who are running your network itself, the people who built your servers, your server team.
Wait a second, is that an Irish Darth Vader?
That's a Scottish Darth Vader, said to you, wee pansy. The Irish live on a small island with green clovers. I'm a
Scotsman man.
Where's your two-handed sword?
Animals for crying out loud.
Where's your two-handed sword, man? Come on, avoid swords in the data center.
So I'd be talking about the layers of defense.
And, I always tease about the people on your help desk, but it really does make a big difference. I dressed up like Darth Vader today just so I could do this bit. So you're going to have to suffer through. So imagine you're running the Galactic Empire like I do, and you have all power like I do, and you're trying to find a good quality help desk person because you really don't want to take help desk calls, kind of like I really don't. And the guy comes along, and he's got just enough technology skills that you let him into your network. And he takes his first help desk call, ring, ring, and he picks up the phone, and he says, "This is Elmo. Elmo is ready to take your call today. Elmo loves goldfish. Dorothy. Oh, wait, I gotta feed my goldfish." At this point, I have to call down to the help desk. Stormtroopers are crazy. They want to know why they don't have access to the network. You know, the remote control thing doesn't work with Elmo because he's all mouth and no action. It's the help
desk.
You got
the tickle me, Elmo. The tickle me, Elmo's action.
Yeah. That can be really, really, really bad.
Galactic
Matt, number two, Matt.
Number two, avoid. Okay, avoid letting Chris Henley into your data center would be my number two advice. Really, I think number two centers on that whole virtualization story, but really it's about managing. Avoid having unmanaged servers. I know a lot of you have products out there, and you have products that run are all different, you know, different things for backup, different things around management, different things for virtualization, but they don't work together. Avoid with R2 the mistake of not looking at System Center, especially with the new System Center products coming out. They are designed to work well together. Now, regardless of whether you go to private cloud or not, there is still a lot of inherent value and probably a lot of potential cost savings. And we're talking, you know, 10% costs compared to what some of our competitors charge for management tools, for backup tools, for recovery tools, all under that System Center brand that you really want to look at. So you want to avoid an unmanaged data center with R2. I think when you start putting this all together, it's like one of my favorite cartoon characters of all time. You know, you got System Center Operations Manager, you got System Center Configuration Manager, you got System Center Virtual Machine Manager, you got System Center Data Protection Manager, DPM, you got the Service Manager, you got Orchestrator, which used to be known as Apollos, and then you got AviCode, you got all this stuff. But when you put it all together, it's like Voltron, folks. It is like a magic one. They're all great by themselves. When you put them together, you get this magic wonder of robot management, and that's what System Center tools can do it. So avoid unmanaged servers is my number two scary thing to avoid.
Gotcha. So remember, get it together. Chris, number one.
Number one. I get number one? Of course I get number one.
You are the center of the universe.
I'm glad you realized
it's
that.
It's just your world, and we're living in it, buddy.
My work has not gone in vain. The number one thing to avoid.
Come on, number one. Come on.
Mr. Hester, you will do well to avoid interrupting me in the future.
All right. Breathe. Two screws, a plate, three bruises, and some lip balm. Is that what they put on your leg? Kidding. So the number one thing to avoid with Windows Server 2008 R2 is doing nothing. Server is a live product. If you get to a point where you're comfortable and happy and everything's running in your network environment the way that you want it to, and you have time to play, you figure what, Doom?
Angry Birds.
What's that?
Angry Birds.
Oh, I can't believe you said the AB word on the...
Hang on.
Yeah. You really have to focus on a constantly evolving, constantly changing, constantly updating model. A server network is not a stagnant thing. And we find this over and over and over. We walk out to a client's network, it's running the same programs, the same services, the same operations, same protocols, same applications that they've been running for years instead of looking to the future and looking to adopt what's better about networks. Windows Server 2008 R2 is an R2 of Server 2008. There will be additional updates. There will be new servers. We've already heard a lot about Windows Server 8. Getting stagnant is not what you're after in the world of Windows servers or in the world of technology in general. You've got to be able to take what you've got that's great and take the next step to make it even better. Don't get stagnant. Don't get caught just sitting and watching things work. Make things work. There's tons of new opportunities out there. Go out and take them.
So you heard it from Chris. Be agile. Move quickly. But think about it. We had Matt Hester. Thanks, Matt, for joining us.
Hang on. I'm angering birds right now. Give me a second. Okay. Thanks.
And Chris, center of the universe.
Thank you.
And you've heard it. The top 10 scary things that you want to avoid when you're using Windows Server 2008 R2. That's a wrap.